to worry about things that are outside of our control places a stress on us. Accepting what you can control, then giving everything you can on those kind of controllables, attitude, preparation, effort. Everything outside that, really, we can't control. Why place worry on things that we can influence?
Welcome to another episode of Ditto. I'm Ashley Hatch, professional soccer player for the Washington Spirit in the NWSL, and I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Matt Moore.
Hello, everybody. Dr. Moore here. I mean, if you've forgotten, I'm a professor, assistant professor at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City, and I'm also a mental performance coach. Happy to be here for another episode of DITTO. Ashley, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I have a dad joke for you, and I was wondering if you had a mom joke.
Ooh, I don't have a mom joke.
But maybe next
but
time?
I'd love to hear your...
Okay.
Yeah, maybe next time. I'd love to hear your dad joke.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Where do you learn how to make ice cream?
I don't know. Where?
Okay, this is going to be really funny, so you have to laugh.
Oh, gosh.
Sunday school. S-U-N-D-A-E.
Oh, cute. That's a good one.
I know.
I feel like that has more of a mom joke vibe.
That does. Yeah, that seems more feminine. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one, though. I haven't heard that one. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome. How's training been, by the way, Ash?
Training has been good. So I actually wanted to talk to you about this. I've been reading this book. Have you read this book before?
Oh yeah. That's the OG.
The Inner Game of Tennis.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, well, my coach actually recommended it to me because I was telling him about our podcast, and then we were kind of like having a discussion just about mental performance and playing free and how to get out of a rut when you don't feel like you're playing free. Anyway, so he gave it to me like a week ago. And so I finally like cracked it open, and I'm still like, I'm only on page 25, but there's a part in the book. It talks about, I know we've talked about this a lot, about being like non-judgmental and like about your thoughts or your actions.
Yeah.
And specifically like your performance. And the author says like, in order to be non-judgmental, we need to stop labeling things as good or bad and just saying them how they are.
Interesting.
And I feel like we've talked about being non-judgmental
totally
about things, but like when he said it that way, it like kind of just like clicked even more in my head. And so right now my exercise of the week is writing three things down about training that are non-judgmental. So labeling them as good or bad, but just being like, this happened, and this happened, and like being okay with it and then moving on. And it's been today, like so when you asked how I was doing, I didn't want to say good because I'm working on not labeling things as good or bad. But overall, it's been a good day. Training has been good. And today was a successful day of trying this new exercise, and I'm pretty happy with it.
Well, good. I love to hear that. Timothy Galway, however you say his last name. He wrote that years ago. It was, in fact, I think the second, like, quote unquote, sports psych book I ever read back in like my undergrad, kind of going into my master's degree. And it's a game changer. Super simple read. I think there's what, like 130 pages, maybe, if that.
Yeah.
If that.
Yeah, it's 134. So you're pretty close.
Wow, I was really close. I didn't realize that was that close. Okay, cool. Wonderful book. You know me, like this whole acceptance, non-judgmental piece, I argue is like the hardest part of this whole mental phenomenon for athletes, for any performer, but especially high performing athletes. It's this idea that you are kind of relinquishing control. And that sounds bad. It sounds like your competitive edge is being lost, right? Because you're relinquishing control, you're accepting.
Yeah.
But the paradox is you're doing just the opposite. So as soon as you recognize the acceptance piece, you acknowledge, you embrace the reality of the situation, it's unbelievable how much more power you actually seem to have as a result of doing that. And so I'm loving that, you know, this is part of your process. I think you should very much continue down that road. I know we've had these conversations before that, you know, this whole acceptance paradigm. And it's a skill set. Man, is it a skill set. You have to be really consistent and deliberate with it, just like everything else. But
yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's, I don't know how many conversations I've had, right, had this with athletes. And the acceptance being, the hardest piece of, like, the awareness and goal setting and visualization and all of these wonderful things that go into sports psychology. Acceptance tends to be the hardest, but ironically, the most powerful.
Matt, did I ask you how you were doing? How are you doing? What's new?
No, you didn't ask. I'm just...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm
asking now.
Yeah, you are. I'm doing really well. Funnily enough, Ash, I attempted rolls today. I made rolls like bread.
Oh.
I kind of want to be the roll guy.
Baker.
Yeah. Like, I'm watching British Baking Show over again because it's like the feel goods of all feel goods.
Mm-hmm.
And they've inspired me to start my roll baking process again. And they're pretty good. The ones I made today, it was a new recipe. It was a new approach.
Okay.
But they're pretty good. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Yes. I know.
You have to share your favorite recipe with our listeners.
Roll. Oh my gosh. A good, like, hot, buttery, salty roll. Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Anyways. Same.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, should we get into the topic for today?
Yeah. Let's dive into it.
Topic for today.
Yeah.
Is.
What are we talking about?
Changing our relationship with stress. Ooh, did I say that right?
Yes. I love that. Yes. I don't think there's a correct way to say that, but I think this is a very interesting topic.
Yes. So where would you like to start with our topic of changing our relationship with stress? Yeah,
I know, right? There's a lot of different angles. What helps me, coming from the background that I come from, is defining first and foremost the kind of the operative word of where we're going here, which is stress.
Mm-hmm.
And so how I've kind of conceptualized and being able to articulate that word in particular over the years is this way. Imagine like a seesaw. So you're at the playground, you're back in your 7-year-old self, and with one end goes the other, one end goes down and right, vice versa. That's stress. The imbalance is environmental demands is up. No, is down. And your resources are up. So basically, there's an imbalance of demand in your environment and your resources. Mm-hmm. And your resources can be cognitive. They can be emotional. They can be obviously physical, relational, spiritual, a whole bunch of things, this holistic kind of viewpoint. So the imbalance of environmental demands and the resources that you have, that's how I like to define stress. Is that, I mean, can you understand that? Is that, do you think that resonates with a lot of people? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. I've never heard it explained that way, but it makes sense.
Okay, good. And so for me, again, as a teacher and as a consultant, you know, helping people come in, and this is, whether it's direct or indirect, an overarching topic for so many people that I interact with in my professional world, because we all experience stress, and 90% of us, maybe 98% of us, aren't that good at dealing with stress, at managing, at changing our relationship with stress. And that's why that phrase that we've mentioned, changing your relationship with stress, is so crucial, because oftentimes we as human beings, we try to get rid of it. Right? We try to bury it. We try to pretend that it's not there. Ignore it. Right? Have you done that before? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Too many times.
Right? And then, like, what happens as a result of that, usually?
It usually just gets worse.
Yeah, it comes back in 10 minutes or 24 hours, and it's even worse. And then you're digging a deeper hole, and then you're really starting to physiologically feel stress, and you're sweating, and your heart's racing, and then it it leads to behavioral actions, which are not good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of that, because we were given this gift, might be the wrong word, but this idea, this innate response of stress as human beings innately, so it can essentially keep us safe, keep us healthy. But we've turned it into this chronic thing, and we've turned it into this negative thing. And so for me, again, that is the first phrase, or the first objective, if you will, when I work with somebody, is I don't want to help you get rid of your stress. I want to help you just change your relationship with it. And I understand it's a very mm-hmm. mindful approach, but that's theoretically where I'm coming from, because I think it provides a lot of solution. Anyways, does that sit so far, Ash?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. Makes sense.
Let me ask you, before we dive into kind of this model that I think might guide this conversation really, really well, your kind of relationship with stress as a professional athlete, how has it wavered, or what they say, kind of undulated over the years? And
mm-hmm.
how have you change your relationship with it? How have you managed it to, I know you're not perfect. I'm not perfect, far from it, in terms of changing yeah. my relationship with stress, but how have you gotten to a point to where it's, you know, in theory, a little bit healthier of a relationship, a little bit more of an efficacious kind of perspective with your relationship with stress?
I feel like anytime I experience something that's like brand new that I haven't experienced before, I feel like that's always a little bit more challenging to deal with those stressors than stressors that I totally. Have successfully
yeah.
managed or like increased my relationship with before.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would say like we have, like you said, so many different stressors. It's a hard word to say sometimes.
Stressors.
That we manage on a daily basis, on a weekly, monthly, yearly. We have big ones. We have little ones. Stress is something that I feel like we do need. And I feel like
right.
changing our relationship with it and understanding that it will happen on, like, obviously there's many different levels, but I think understanding that it will happen and that we can create a better relationship with it or manage it is like a first really good step. I think for me, like I said earlier, the moments where I try and like push it aside, or like, oh, I'm going to go eat some ice cream because it's going to make me feel better right now, and I'm going to forget about this thing that's causing me a lot of stress. That usually doesn't help, but like either trying to find a solution or using the resources that I do have to do what I can to manage it or to change the situation or improve the situation is how I like to go about it. But yeah, I feel like, especially throughout my career, different seasons, different coaches, different teammates, travel, new experiences.
Totally.
Reoccurring experiences. That's kind of how I've approached all those different stressors.
I'm going to ask a very specific question about one experience in particular that I know will resonate with a lot of people, but I'm going to table it for now.
Okay.
So just know that that's coming. Okay.
All right.
You said something really, really important.
It's stressing me out. No,
don't stress out.
Sorry.
Don't stress.
I'm just kidding.
You said something really, really poignant. It was essentially, I mean, you didn't say this explicitly, but it was more implicit from my understanding and what I'm taking from it. Essentially,
yeah.
Why worry about something that we can't control? That's
yeah.
essentially where stress is coming from. We're starting to worry about things that are mm-hmm. outside of our control. And so it places a stress on us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a huge part of that is this acceptance piece, accepting what you can control, then giving everything you can on those kind of controllables. And for me, it's your attitude, your preparation, and your effort. Everything mm-hmm. outside that, really, we can't control. And,
yeah.
and control is even a hard word for me to say as I'm helping people understand this, because if you think about it, you really don't have control, 100% control over anything. So influencing those
yeah.
three things is really, really important. That's a huge part of that. So again, why place worry on things that we can influence? So
yeah,
for me, it's okay. Recognition of that, the awareness of that, the acceptance of that. And then after, it's what resources, based off that definition, do you have to hopefully meet some of the demands of the environment, right? Because there's that imbalance. Mm-hmm. How can you start to bring the seesaw just a little more even and bring in some of these resources, mm-hmm. whether it's partners, whether it's religion, whether it's some sort of emotional protocol, or maybe psychological. And so for us in this conversation, I want to touch on what we can do psychologically to mm-hmm. bring in more of these resources so that we can meet the demands of the environment and thus change our relationship with stress. So this is this model, and we can put this on Instagram or wherever we can post this so they can see kind of a visual of these four stages. So I think his name's Joseph McGrath. I could be getting his first name wrong. In 1970, kind of a famous psychologist, especially in and around stress, I know, very nerdy. He essentially researched and invented, if you will, this process of how we experience stress. And he calls it the four-stage process of stress, or the stress process, four-stage process, whatever. Four stages of stress. And so here are these four stages. And there's one stage in particular that's of the utmost importance that I want to really focus on. And especially, again, going back to this question for you, Ash, have you shared an experience about this one in particular? Okay. So
okay.
If we're following along, here are your four stages, and it goes in order. So once again, we have number one, environmental demand. So the environment is demanding something. Your coach is telling you to do something. The team is telling you to do something. The competition is telling you to do something. Your teammates are telling, like, something is demanding something of you, okay? Two is the perception of the demand. Really crucial. I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. Three is stress process, or stress response, I should say. And that's physical, that's psychological. And so if you're stressed kind of in this more detrimental state of being, you're going to experience rumination. You're going to experience physical attributes of stress. Like I mentioned, heart is racing, you're sweating, your mouth is dry, etc. And then number four is the actual behavioral, or what they call behavioral consequences. So as a result of all these stages, now you're actually acting. The behavior is going into play, essentially. And they all influence one another, but especially number two, the perception of the demands. This is your resource. So we're going back to this definition. One enormous psychological resource that you have as a human being is how you are perceiving the environmental demands. And then as a result, mm-hmm. that's going to produce a stress response. And then as a result of that, it's going to produce some sort of behavioral consequence. So if your perception is facilitative, I'm not going to say positive or negative, but just mm-hmm. facilitative. Your stress response yeah. is going to be facilitative. And then ultimately your behaviors are going to be facilitative. And then mm-hmm. vice versa, if your
yeah.
perception is detrimental and really crummy, then your stress mm-hmm. response is going to be really crummy. And then your behavioral consequences are going to be really crummy. So there's mm-hmm. the key.
Yeah.
to this four-stage process is how can you psychologically train your perception, right? And again, yeah. just like mm-hmm. acceptance, like we mentioned previously, you have to be really deliberate and consistent at recognizing that how I'm perceiving this current situation is being greatly affected in terms of my relationship to stress, detrimental or facilitative. So I know that's a lot. So here's my question for you, Ashley, and unpack this from all the different angles that exist.
Okay.
I'm putting you on the spot, so please feel free to share whatever you feel comfortable.
Here we go.
I know many that follow you and love you and really respect everything you do as a human being and as a professional athlete. They know that you for lack of a better term, were, what do they say, snubbed? Is that the right word?
Yeah.
From the World Cup team last year, 2023, right?
Yeah.
23. I have had a few conversations with you specifically about this, but I know a lot of people, I think, would find this really helpful, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
How did this stage, or these stages, and especially this perception of the demand, what role did this play during this whole experience? And how has it, you know, how is it still playing in your life today? I know that's a really big question.
Wow. Are you talking specifically about the like final decision of not being on the roster, or like the whole process?
I kind of want the 30,000 foot view, because I think there's just a lot of nuance in the whole process that is really interesting and helpful, if you don't mind.
Okay.
This is a really deep kind of touchy conversation and subject. So please, again, feel free to share whatever you feel comfortable sharing.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to talk about it. I think there was so much stress in so many different levels and so many different moments with like the whole process. I think being, you know, in a position to be selected and have an opportunity to try and make that team was an honor, but it also came with a lot of stress, a lot of unknowns, a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah.
I've never been in that position before to be selected, so I didn't know what the process looked like. And so for me, like changing my relationship with stress, I'll be honest, there are moments where I feel like I did a really good job at it, and there are moments where I didn't do a great job. And I feel like it was kind of this roller coaster of, okay, I'm doing well, I'm in a good spot, I'm influencing the things that I can influence and trying to forget the rest. And then there's moments or days where I would wake up and was like, oh my gosh, can't they just tell us now? Like, what's happening? Am I doing enough? I don't know. I'm probably not. Or letting my thoughts kind of swirl, and then feeling stressed and anxious, you know, for the rest of that day or for however long until I addressed my feelings. I feel like I had to constantly remind myself of my environmental demands and my perception of them. And then you also add like social media onto that, and I don't know, expectations, whether they're real or not real, whether they're my expectations, perceived expectations from my family, my friends, my teammates, my coaches, managing all that was hard. But yeah, I think, and then obviously getting the result that I did of not making the roster was really, really difficult. But I think I did my very best in managing that. I think there was more stress leading up to that decision. Mm. And once the decision happened, I feel like it was more managing like disappointment, because I feel like a lot of the stress was gone, because most of the stress was created from the anticipation of that phone call of getting the yes or no.
Yeah.
And so I even remember like our first game of the season, I think it was on the road against Louisville, like I was so stressed, like I couldn't eat, because I was just like,
wow,
they're watching everything, and these games matter the most. And so yeah, like I think that's a physical stress response. I think that's something that when I get to that point where I know like I have no appetite or I can't eat, I'm like, okay, my stress has gotten a little too far. I need to figure out how to change my relationship with it or use it in a good way. And I mean, I had a good game. I was able to score 2 goals, but yeah, I think all the stress came from before that phone call. And then afterwards, like I said, it was more managing disappointment and finding my value again, just because so much of it was placed on that decision.
Something that really has stood out to me with this experience of yours is the ups and downs. You were never like on top of the stress at all times, and you are just queen of managing this. Everything's going to be just fine. There were really crappy moments. And then there were moments where like, it's going to be fine. Think I have more opportunity here or different opportunities here. And I can devote more time here because I'm not on this team or whatever it might be. And so there were some positives, I think, that came out of it as well, obviously. And I think that's hard to do in the moment, especially like in the suck. But we tend to get stuck in the suck as human beings. But with this shift in perception, the idea is to not get stuck for that long. It's okay to get stuck for a little bit and to maybe lose your appetite and to feel anxious and to feel sad or whatever.
Yeah.
The idea then is to, the changing of this is to get out of that and to go to more a more healthy, more facilitative headspace and physical space as well, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was very much a part of your process is that personal navigation of the ups and the downs and the ups and the downs and finding ways to have more ups, not do away with the downs, but maybe just have a little more ups and make those ups the best that they can be. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I think that's right. I think that's exactly what I try to do. And I think referencing our conversation with Brendan Learn when he said that like he wanted to get back to like normal or get back to like his routines and being in the gym after he had conquered cancer, that really resonated with me because after I had like received that news, I didn't want to stay stuck in the suck for that long because I knew it would be that much harder to get out of it. So I feel like I was pretty clear with my loved ones and my teammates and my coaches around me that like I wanted to get back on the field. Like that next day, I asked, our team was traveling to Kansas City for a game. I asked if I could just have one day to myself to just kind of, I don't know, take a deep breath, like embrace everything. But I also wanted the opportunity to just go out onto the soccer field by myself / with Jeff and just kick the ball around because I knew like the sooner I got back to just playing and appreciating the game and just like going back to my roots of just like I love the game, the sooner I would be able to like get over, maybe not get over, but work through this like sucky situation.
I like that phrase. Yeah.
And so so I don't know, I really appreciated what Brendan shared with us because that's how it was for me. I think the analogy I used for my coach when I was trying to explain like my feelings and emotions and where I was at, I met the team out in Kansas City and we were trying to decide if like I should play or not, and I was like, I want to play, and I said, I feel like I'm was riding my bike and I got hit by a bus but all I want to do is pick my bike back up and keep riding and it may be a little wobbly at first, but like I know I'll be fine if I just keep riding. And that was the analogy I used, probably a bad one.
That's good.
But that's just like the only way I could explain how I was feeling. And so he listened and he let me play, and it was still hard, but I was able to get through it and I had a lot of love and support of those people around me. But yeah, I didn't want to stay stuck in that for long because I knew it would be that much harder to get out of it.
There's your perception or your perspective, right? You knew, based off of this awareness that you've been training for quite some time now, that this situation is really hard. The longer I allow myself to be in this hard headspace, the harder it is to get out. That's that perception, in my opinion. So changing it to do something a little more effective is part of this process. Here, you mentioned a lot with relationships, and that can be a huge resource. Obviously, we can't do this life thing alone. And so partners, family, friends, coaches, teammates definitely should be part of that resource on the seesaw. But with this perception, the changing of your perception or perspective, what can we do kind of explicitly to train that? You know, I've mentioned and you've mentioned you need to be consistent with it. You need to be deliberate. Well, what does that actual training look like? How do we go about you know, quote unquote, training our perspective? What do you think?
That's a good question. I think it all goes back to what we talked about at the beginning, is like our awareness and being aware of our thoughts and how we are perceiving a situation. And I know for me, there's been many times where I've perceived a stress or a situation one way, and I had to take a step back and be like, wait a minute, am I really perceiving this correctly? Do I have all the pieces of this puzzle, and where do my biases lie in this perception that I'm, or this narrative that I'm telling myself? And sometimes it's correct, and then I go from there. But a lot of the times it's a little biased, maybe towards a direction that isn't most beneficial for me. And I think that's where conversations with loved ones, especially like my husband Jeff, really help, because he's able to share his perception of a situation maybe without the same biases that I have, or we have honest conversations. And I feel like that really helps with perception a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the root of it is awareness and understanding, you know, how you're perceiving your situation. But I think that awareness comes from doing things like meditation, breathing, because when we're stressed, we oftentimes, I feel like, stop breathing.
Totally.
Or resting or relaxing. I feel like if you're just in an uptight, tense state, you're not going to be able to make the best decisions. You're not going to be able to perceive situations as clearly as if you were calm and breathing and kind of looking from a zoomed out perspective. And so breathing, meditation, for me, journaling is often something that really helps me to be able to just like put all the pieces together and really reflect without a ton of bias. I feel like our minds tend to run a lot of the times when we play situations back in our mind or how we anticipate something will go. But if we can step back and be non-judgmental about the situation, write about it, I think all of those things can help us.
100%. Ditto, ditto, ditto. I'm so glad you mentioned the journaling. Do you have that journal like with you? Your mental performance journal?
Yeah.
So for
I have both of them. I have a new one because finished.
So for those that don't know, once again, Ashley
Here's
and I.
My new one.
Yes. Ashley and I have been working together on all of these things and much more for, I don't know, 5 years-ish. And I highly recommend with everyone that I work with, and this is no different with Ashley, to write down and reflect on all of these things that we have talked about. Ashley, show at least those that are watching, and maybe we could do like a still shot of this, what your journals, plural, have looked like over the course of, you know, roughly 5 years. So I think it's so amazing and so interesting.
I'm trying to
For those that can't see, she currently is holding a journal.
Okay, here's my new one.
Here's your
my
new
old one.
One
is on the shelf somewhere.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, like this is what it looks like. A lot of just like, I mean, my conversations with you look a little bit different than like the journaling.
Yeah.
Like right here we have your favorite AP, attitude, preparation, effort. I was reflecting on my attitude, preparation, effort of training that week.
Yeah.
But yeah, my other one has a lot more funny drawings and pictures.
It's awesome. And we'll find it for the listeners.
Yeah,
it's amazing what writing things down can do, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, not only from the subjective personal level, there's this different power that kind of resides in this, but scientifically, it has shown over the years how much more we're able to remember, how much more we're able to retain, and to buy in to the topics that we're writing about if we can physically see ourselves writing down these things. And so oftentimes, even as a professor nowadays, where everyone has computers, has laptops, has tablets, I ask them occasionally to get out a piece of paper and pen and or pencil on some of the activities that we do. Not always, but every so often I'll have them do that because I want them to really retain some of the things that we talk about. And it's funny to see these students nowadays in 2024 who were born in like 2004. It's so weird. 2005, like when I graduated high school. Anyways, they're all kind of scramble like, oh, I don't think I've ever had paper in my backpack before. What do I do? So they like ask somebody three rows down, hey, do you have an extra piece of paper? And it's always like the front row student who has all of the paper and computer and pens and erasers.
That's
and,
so funny.
Anyways, it's a magical thing to do. Now, in full transparency, I don't keep a journal. And I think I should.
Uh-oh.
I know.
Just kidding.
I write down a lot of things. I have, in fact, for me, I both have a physical notebook and like your notes app on your iPhone. I don't, if you're an Android person, sorry, I can't relate to you. I don't know who you are.
I'm an Apple person.
There you go. I fill these things up all the time with ideas and thoughts, and something comes to my mind I want to remember, I jot it down. That is kind of my quote-unquote journal. It's not as cool as yours, and maybe I need to make it a little bit better.
I have too many journals, to be honest.
Oh, you do? You have a lot of journals?
Well, that's like my mental performance journal, and then I have like my life journal, and then I also have like, this is like my weekly like notepad, and then I also have like sticky notes where like if I have something quick that I want to like remember, like a thought that I had, like for instance, I was thinking about mistakes and I wrote like mistakes are, I just said quote unquote, make good mistakes, AKA make mistakes because you're ambitious and believe in yourself, not because you're afraid.
Wow.
And so like, I wanted to remember that and I didn't want to like, I didn't have time I can't resist. I didn't have time to get my journal out. So I wrote it down like the sticky note.
Yeah.
But I've been able to remember it just because I wrote it down.
Yeah. For those people that don't like the journaling or even writing down things, I think you can work around it to a point. One way that I have found it useful, if you're not kind of a writer or jotting down ideas, is to tell people about it. Like have conversations with your loved ones about what your internal kind of dialogue is saying and this differing or changing relationship with perspective so that your stress can be different as well. But the wonderful thing about technology nowadays is you can talk into your iPhone. So like just push the app and talk into the phone, right? Just like you would with the journal. So I think there's a lot of different kind of creative ways in how we can get around this. Nonetheless, it's one amazing way that I have found to be extremely useful in how we can be deliberate and consistent about changing our perspective and thus changing our relationship in a healthy way to stress. Journaling is a huge one, or just finding a way to get your thoughts out and articulate them and unpack them and question them and kind of look at them from a different angle. Sometimes literally if it's on a page. But Ashley mentioned a number of other things. I mean, deliberate breathing is a huge one. Meditation is a huge one that I always recommend to anyone and everyone that I come across, especially this app called Healthy Minds Program. I've mentioned it here before. It's a phenomenal app. I like Headspace as well, but the wonderful thing with Healthy Minds Program is it's the only app on the market, as far as I've done my research, that is evidence-based, 100% backed by research. Everything they do on that app comes from the University of Wisconsin's Healthy Minds Lab, I think is what they call it, where they study like world-class research in and around meditation. And the app is free. Nice. So this center at the University of Wisconsin created this app free of charge to learn meditation and to practice it. So that's another really helpful way in how we can change our relationship with stress, and even backing up before that or coming after that, change our perspective and have it be in the most facilitative way possible. Anyways, I think those are some really helpful tips and pun intended, perspectives on on stress. Anything else, Ash, that you know, is on your mind in and around this concept of changing our relationship with stress?
No, nothing that I can think of. I think changing our relationship and our perspective is really important. And like you said, there's this negative connotation around stress. Stress isn't always a bad thing. I think understanding that as well can help us when we're
absolutely
experiencing it and trying to navigate it. I think that's also really helpful. But yeah, no, I think you covered a lot, which is great.
Well, we covered a lot. I hope you all in the listening world found it helpful. It's such a, I know this is a big word, ubiquitous experience. We all on some level experience stress. And again, I'm hopeful and we are hopeful that, you know, this changing your relationship with it is the sole intent. Don't try to get rid of it. Some of it can be really, really helpful. Changing our relationship with it starts with changing our perspective. So thanks for listening. And again, I hope you found it helpful.
Thanks everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed our conversation about changing your relationship with stress. Hopefully a few of the things we talked about can help you. We have something really exciting to share.
So exciting.
Oh. Matt, can we get a drum roll? Oh, nice.
Okay.
All right. We are going to do an episode of questions and answers, and the questions are going to come from you, our audience.
Yay.
We are going to add a Google form to this podcast description. And we would love it if you guys submitted any and all of your questions, and we will have an episode where we read off our favorite questions. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever questions make the most sense, and we will answer them for you. So I'm really excited. I think it can be a lot of fun. So submit your questions, please.
Yes.
And yeah,
we can't wait to answer them. Whatever you've been wondering about sports psych, about Ashley, about me in my baking journey of becoming a better role maker, whatever you want to submit, we will be more than willing and more than happy to answer.
Yes, so submit your questions and we're really excited.
Yay.
Thanks everyone.
Thanks everybody.